Well, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers everywhere. You know, it doesn't matter if you bore children or not. God's called us to be spiritual mothers. And we are supposed to mother all those around about us, right? So I hope that you mothers are learning something from God. I hope that you're growing up in God. And if you weren't a good mother, that you're learning to be a good mother. Because let's face it, some of us didn't even know what motherhood was all about when we bore our first child. And we had to learn as we went along, right? And we've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but I'm hoping that through your walk with God, that you'll understand the word, you understand love, and understand that the children you have are not yours. God just lent them to you to raise up in his ways. And one day when you stand before him, he's going to judge you how you raised your children, his children. And I think some mothers aren't going to fare too well. But, you know, God can change all things. He can change all things. Father, I just thank you for the mothers that came out this morning. I thank you for the men who came out, the fathers. I want you, Father God, to move in their midst in a mighty way. And Father God, I want you to drop your love into your people this day. And let them leave here with Father God, knowing that you are a God of love and that you are leading, guiding, and directing us. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're doing a mighty works in here this morning. I thank you for your angelic hosts, Father. And Father, just let your love permeate each and every person in this room right now. Father God, melt the cold hearts that can't receive love or give love. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't know where God is taking us right now. It's getting harder and harder for me to get messages together. I don't know if God's, I sat all day yesterday trying to get a message together. I don't know if God's taken us from preaching the word to the miraculous, you know, where when we come in the house of God, all God will do is just drop his miracle working power and just miracles will just flow. I don't know, but I'm just telling you that's where I'm at right now. I don't know where you're at or what God's doing with you. I don't know if he's doing something different, but I'm encouraging you not to give up. You know, just keep going, because whatever God's doing in you, in us, it is for the best. Because God knows exactly what he wants us to do. And I'm going to tell you, I really sat yesterday and said, God, we can't go on like, you know, I can't go on like this, struggling to get a message together lately. And I need to know what you're doing with the Lighthouse Church. All right. So I want each one of you in your, not in my walk, but in your walk with God. And if God is, if you're just feeling like I am, like something's not quite right, don't get discouraged and don't give up, but just keep pressing forward. And we all know the closer we get to where the miracles that God wants us to perform, the more the enemy's going to fight us. And the more the enemy's going to come at us, make us think we're not loving and kind. You know, don't give in to those emotions. We belong to God, and we know who God is and what God's all about. And we need to be about his business. You know, Jill Churchill said, there is no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one. See that? There is no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one. And I think about some of you men, you know, you're raising your children yourself, and your mothers too, really, your mothers and fathers. And I think you have quite a burden on your shoulders when you're a man trying to raise your children, because I know children need the father, but they also need what God put in a mother too. And so if you're trying to raise your children by yourself, we praise you for that, for all you guys that are doing that. And you guys, who you know that you're, that the mother isn't given the love she should, and so you're trying to make up for that love, we praise you for that too. Because the child, all children need love. That's why so many children are messed up today, because they didn't have the proper love from either both parents or the one parent. All right? God calls his women blessed. You need to understand this in the deepest recesses of your heart and go forth as truly godly mothers. This is a year God is calling mothers back to their rightful place in the home and then in their children's lives. When God created mothers, when the good Lord was creating mothers, he was into the sixth day. I love this story. That's why I'm telling it. When the good Lord was creating mothers, he was into a sixth day of overtime when the angel appeared and said, "You're taking a lot of time on this one." And God said, "Don't you believe that God took a lot of time on you guys? Because we're so unique and different, aren't we? You know, nobody can figure us out. We can't figure ourselves out. Here we have a husband trying to figure us out, and bless you all." Amen. All right, so the angel said, "You're taking a long time on this one." And God said, "Have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair. And 6 pairs of hands." The angel shook his head slowly and said, "6 pairs of hands? No way." God said, "It's not the hands that are causing me problems," God remarked. "It's the 3 pair of eyes that mothers have to have." "That's on the standard model?" asked the angel. And God nodded. "One pair that she sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. Another here in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And of course, the ones here in the front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, 'I understand and I love you,' without so much as uttering a word." There's your 3 sets of eyes. "God," said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, "get some rest tomorrow." "I can't," said God. "I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of 6 on 1 pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower." The angel circled the model of a mother very slowly. "It's too soft," she sighed. "But tough," said God excitedly. "You can imagine what this mother can do or endure. Can it think? Not only can it think, but it can reason and compromise," said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran his finger across the cheek. "There's a leak," she pronounced. "I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model." "It's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "What's it for?" "Is for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride." Isn't that a beautiful story? I love it. There's something so special about mothers in Proverbs 31:10. "Who can find a virtuous..." I want all you women to listen to this. "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it." See, she's a businesswoman. "She considers a field and buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household. All her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, how many of you women match up to that? Need to think about that, right? When I read it, I had to read it two or three times. Do we pass the test, women? Think about it. All right, God is present, working and loving in the daily lives of mothers. A mom who fears the Lord teaches her children to use their strength to serve people in need. Mother's ultimate purpose is to instill in her child a love for God. God can use the tensions of motherhood to transform you. So see, instead of letting them tear you down, let them transform you into the image of Jesus, right? Let them give you the strength and the stability that you need to be a true mother and a wife. I saw somewhere a job description for mothers, so let's look at this. Number one, this is a permanent job, mothers. Number two, the successful applicant must be prepared to work hard. Number three, the workplace is often a challenging and chaotic environment. Number four, applicants must possess excellent communication and organizational skills and be willing to work variable hours, which will include evenings and weekends and frequent 24-hour shifts on call. Are y'all listening? Number five, extensive chauffeuring duties also required, but your travel expenses will not usually be reimbursed. Some overnight travel will be required, including trips to camping sites on rainy weekends and countless sports tournaments in faraway places. Number seven, must be willing to be hated, at least temporarily until someone needs some money. And number eight, must be willing to bite tongue repeatedly. Now, women, this is talking about y'all. Number nine, must possess the physical stamina of a pack mule and be able to go from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds flat, in case this time the screams from the backyard are genuine and not just someone crying wolf or playing. And number 10, must be willing to face stimulating technical challenges such as small gadget repair, mysteriously sluggish toilets, and stuck zips. Do you meet all this criteria yet, ladies? Number 11, must screen phone calls, maintain calendars, and coordinate production of multiple homework projects. Number 12, must have ability to plan and organize social gatherings for clients of all ages and mental outlooks. 13, must be willing to be indispensable 1 minute and embarrassment the next. 14, health and safety, must be able to handle the assembly and products safety testing of hundreds of toys and battery-operated devices. 15, attitude and demeanor, must always hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. Must assume final, complete accountability for the quality of the end product. Come on. Must always hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Must assume final, complete accountability for the quality of the end product. 16, responsibilities. Also include floor maintenance, laundering, and janitorial work throughout the place of employment. And remember, this is your home. Remember that. 17, promotion prospects. None. You're not going to get promoted. Your job is to remain in the same position for years without complaining, constantly retraining and updating your skills so that those in your charge can ultimately surpass you. Let's read that one again. Promotion prospects, none. Your job is to remain in the same position for years without complaining, constantly retraining and updating your skills so that those in your charge can ultimately surpass you. Number 18, previous experience, none required, because no other form of employment is totally relevant. Been on the job, in-service training is offered on a continually exhausting basis, right? 19, wages and bonus, none. Job satisfaction is what you hopefully receive. 20, outlays. You pay every bill for your child at least until they turn 18 because of the assumption that college will help them become financially independent. When you die, you give them whatever's left. All right, that's your job description. Ladies, isn't that awesome? What God knows that you can do, that he's put all that on you, knowing that you'd be able to do that. A man couldn't do all that, you know. All right. The strangest thing about this reverse salary scheme is that you should enjoy it and wish you could only do more. This is putting out your money. Now, number 21, benefits. Well, no health or dental insurance, no pension, no tuition reimbursement, no paid holidays, and no bonuses are offered. This job supplies limitless opportunities for free hugs for life if you play your cards right. And number 22 is tenure for the rest of your life. You'll be a mother for the rest of your life. So you didn't count the cost before you became a mother, right? I just want a baby that I can hold and cuddle and you know, goo over. And then comes the day you realize there's a job to do and work to be done. I'm really hoping that you ladies, you mothers, will sit down and really think really hard. Did you meet any of this criteria today to be a true mother? And did you really sacrifice everything, or just thought you were sacrificing? There's a difference, you know. And, you know, you get to stop and think, you had that child. That child did not ask to be born. You had it. And so God told me one time, this is not your child, this is my child that I'm giving to you to raise in my ways, and one day I'll judge you for how you raised it. Now, how many of you are going to be scared to death of that day? You know, stop and think about that. Are you really doing it the way God told you to do it? If you're not, repent quickly. And then you want to worry about backing up to God. You can walk up right up and say, I did a good job. All right. And we all know that things come our way day in and day out. You know, sometimes we just think, oh, God, I had this child. And then other days we think, I'm so glad I had this child because they're so loving and kind. And we have to learn that we have to love the unlovable. And just like I was saying, when Aaron said that he thanked us for putting up with them, well, I thank you for putting up with us mothers who don't always get it right. We fail so terribly sometimes. And this younger generation has failed desperately. Why? Because they didn't have a generation before them that taught them how to be a mother. And so they were just flying by the seat of their pants, more or less, doing the best thing they knew to do. And sometimes we'd look and say, I didn't do a very good job, God. Can you please correct my error and make sure this child doesn't have to pay for my ignorance? Are you understanding this? And that is the truth. And just say, thank you, God, that you overlooked all my flaws and allowed my child to be what you want them to be, not what I'm causing them to be by my ignorance. All right, all these things, these 22 things we read, I said, obviously some tongue-in-cheek is contained here, but I'm sure many mothers here and listening will relate to some, if not all, of what we just said. All right, let's look at a story. This is illustrating the importance of mothers. A girl came home from playing with a friend a little later than expected, so her mother immediately said, "Mary, why are you late?" And Mary said, "I was walking home with Julie when Julie dropped her doll and it broke." "Oh, I see," said her mother. "So you stopped to help Julie fix her doll." "No," said Mary, "we couldn't fix the doll, so I stayed and helped Julie to cry." And the story goes that's called compassion, and Mary probably got that from her mother. Are you looking at this? Second story. I read somewhere that in South America, members of a highland tribe came down and attacked a village of the lowland people. The highlanders smashed up the village and left taking plunder, including a baby. The men of the lowland village were not very fit and were afraid of going up into the mountains. So when the baby's mother begged them to help her, they just shrugged and went away with their heads down. The baby's mother set off up a path into the mountains and disappeared. She was gone 2 days and two nights. But when she came back, she was carrying her baby with her. The men said, "How could you, a mere woman, climb all the way up there and face those ruthless tribesmen?" "It was my baby," she replied. So how many of you mothers are ready to fight for your children? How many are you ready to give up your selfish attitudes and your selfish ways and think about what your child is going through instead of what they're putting you through? We've all made that mistake. And all we have to do is ask God to forgive us and to take care of the child. What she did for her child, most women would do for theirs, and that is what Jesus Christ did for us. Even though we were far from perfect, he died for us. So as far as I'm concerned, what that scripture is saying is that our children are far from perfect. And a lot of that far from perfect is our fault. So we need to die out to our flesh and love them through their mess and make sure that they get all the love they need to become the men or women of God that they're supposed to be. If you look around about you, the world's a mess. Our children are drawn into that mess. And see, because of the wickedness in the world and how the, you know, things are, the right things are called wrong and wrong things are called right. The kids, and if they don't have a godly home they're being brought up in, the kids are in confusion. So they do whatever. The only thing you can do is hold them up before the Father and ask God to keep them safe while they're trying their wings and make sure that they don't stumble and fall to the point they can't get back up again. Isaiah 66 verse 12 says, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed on her sides, shall you be carried, and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." And he was talking to his people. But what God was doing was he was comparing his people to a mother's love. No greater compliment can be paid to motherhood than God comparing his great love for us with the tender, compassionate love of a godly mother toward her children. Our God is so good. And he's so complete. And he wants us mothers, us women, to be just like him. And to be able to say it's okay when it's not okay, you know. Because you understand where they're coming from. And you understand there's nothing they can do about it because they can't get out of their messes. And we just have to be there to love them. Not curse them, you know, not come against them, but to love them. And to understand them. And I don't know about you, but, you know, as raising all the children I've raised, it really hurts me to have somebody else hurt them. Because, you know, they were covered with love, and then you get somebody who doesn't care about nothing. Then they come into their lives, and they pull them down into a dark hole. And all, they're destroying them, and that bothers me. And God knows I have a hard time with that. And I think we should have a hard time with that when somebody's hurting our children. I don't care if you bore them in your womb or not. They're hurting our children. And you covered them with love. And somebody else comes along and, you know, just takes them and treats them like they're absolutely nothing. This is what God said then. He said, to all mothers everywhere, to all mothers everywhere, I say unto you, be faithful in your duties as a mother, and I will bless you beyond measure. Be faithful in your duties as a mother, and I will bless you beyond measure. And I know there's women in the sound of my voice, you are not treating your children right. You're not loving them the way you ought. You're not covering them with the blood the way you should. You're cursing them with your words, and God is not pleased with that. You know, God is trying to draw families together. And if you sit in the house of God and profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should be pulling your house together, not ripping it apart. You should be covering your children with the blood of Jesus. If we're talking about women, so you women need to cover your husbands with the blood of Jesus also, so that the enemy doesn't come in and tear your husband apart. Why do you stay with your husband? Is it so you can torment him? Or is it because you love him? You need to think about that. Why did you have children in the first place? Because of a mistake? You know, why did you have children if you're not going to treat them right and raise them up in the ways of the Lord? We're not supposed to be like the mothers of the world. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be unique. And we're supposed to bring Christ into every situation. God calls his women blessed. You need to understand this in the deepest recesses of your hearts and go forth as true godly mothers. This is what I said. Let's read that again. God calls his women blessed. You need to understand this in the deepest recesses of your hearts and go forth as true godly mothers. This is a year God is calling mothers back to their rightful place in the home and in their children's lives. This is also the year God is calling women out of the backside of the desert to the forefront to do great and mighty deeds for his kingdom. If you can't love your family, God can't use you for his kingdom either. Because God is love. And our foundation is supposed to be love, right? So if we can't bring that love into our home, if we're always angry and bitter, that is not God, and you're not raising your family up in the ways of the Lord. We all go through crises in life. There's not a one of us in this room or in the sound of my voice that has not gone through a crisis in your life. And you know, if you guys are growing up now and you're out on your own, don't blame your parents for how they raised you. You know, I always say, you never know what you're going to do if you're in that situation. You need to thank God you're alive. You need to thank God that he is still there. And you need to thank God that he can take you, no matter what your parents did to you, he can take you and he can change you, rearrange you, and make you the image that he wanted you to be from day one, before he was ever put in the womb. There's too many kids out there saying, well, if my parents would have did this or that. You know, we all have minds of our own, and we all get abused. I mean, that's just a known fact. As we grow up, your parents abuse us. And so, why do they abuse us? Because they're not happy. So they take that unhappiness out on you because you're the nearest thing around. So don't blame your parents for what happened. Just thank God you're still alive. And just say, God, use me as an instrument of your honor that I can help somebody else who has been abused. I can show them what loving you is all about. And I can help them come out of their pit of despair because you had parents that didn't love you. Why do you think abortion's out there? The devil doesn't want children to begin with. And you have abortion because women go out there and just lay around and have babies that they don't want. And see, if we was living in a different time frame, that wouldn't be happening. You know, because the women would be taught to be women, holy women, just women, and you wouldn't have all these babies being aborted. Do you know that every baby is aborted goes to heaven? And one day, you women, if you go to heaven, you're going to meet your child up there. Too many people have gone to heaven and seen that. And your child, I don't care how many you had aborted, is in heaven. They're being raised in heaven. What are you going to say when you meet them? I don't know, and you don't either. But they are alive, and they are well, and they are growing up. So I said all that to say this, I guess, because I wasn't going to say that. Don't beat yourself up if you did that. And I know a lot of women keep beating yourself up, and that doesn't help you any. You just have to say, God, forgive me, and then forgive yourself and move on. Because you know they're taken care of up there. All right? I know this is Mother's Day, but it's also a day of us thinking about a family and how God wants us to live in a family. And you know, if you're fighting and devouring each other, you're not a family. And it's time that the church starts letting the world see what a family's all about. And I know a lot of you have heard people say, you say, why don't you come on to the church? I don't need what you have. I have it out here in the world. Whenever you profess to be God's, you have to be loving and kind. I didn't say there wasn't going to be a time when you wouldn't get upset because Jesus got upset. But that doesn't mean you stay upset 24/7. And it doesn't mean that you're always angry and bitter and, you know, there's something in you that needs to be changed. I read an article as I was reading about mothers where you're always trying to change your kids. And God's using those kids to change something in you. And when God gets that thing in you changed, then your children will be changed. And I believe that because I've lived that. How many of you have lived that? Maybe if you haven't, thank God for that. None of us are perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. But we don't have to continue to make the same mistake over and over and over again because God doesn't like that. We have to learn from our first mistake and then quit it. Don't do it again. And this morning I'm asking each one of you, I know some of you are going to take your mothers out to dinner, or if you're like Brother Christopher Gore, he cooks dinner for his wife at home, which is so much better than going to a restaurant. I hear he's a good cook. But anyhow, he made me some beans. I like his beans. So whatever you're going to do for your mother today or wife, do it in love, or don't do it at all. Just forget about it. Because if you're going to do it fighting and angry and everything else, you're not doing it for the right reason. Doing something for somebody, you do it because you love them. And you want to show them how much you love them. So you're doing something special for them. Are you going to do something special for her today? Sure you are. I know you are. See, and that's wonderful. Every woman wants, you know, a husband or a child to do something for them because they want to. Not because, oh, it's Mother's Day now, I got to buy flowers or I got to do this. You know, I just do not have anything. That's what you think. I want it because that's really what you want to do for me. And you do it from the very bottom of your heart. And just not one day, right? Us women God would like for you to honor us women every day. I didn't say take you dinner every day, and I didn't say buy flowers every day, but you could say I love you every day. Could give them a little special touch as you go by them. Could do that every day, right? But do you? Do you, really? I want you to stop and think about this. How do you treat your wife? And wife, how do you treat your husband when they're trying to be nice to you? What do you want now? I hear that a lot, and that upsets me. Just accept what they're trying to give you. This morning, I watched a son trying to give his mother some money, and no, I don't want, I'm going to mail back. I said, he's trying to tell you he loves you, and he doesn't know what to buy you, so please take the money. I said, and don't mail it back to him and quit being like this. Just accept her for what it is, a son who loves his mother and wants to give a gift. You know, we don't even know how to receive gifts. Some women don't. Why is it? It's because you don't feel like you're a good mother or a good wife. You think about your attitudes. Think about what you're doing, because there's always something behind it. And God's trying to get your attention. I love each one of you women that come here to the church, because I've watched you grow. And I've watched you come from where you didn't really care about, you know, love yourself, to where you're out there wanting to help everybody else in the world. And you're content with yourself now. You're not trying to be something. But you're content with yourself. And you know you've done everything you could do. And you know that if you messed up, you ask God to forgive you. And you know he did, so you can go on, because you're whole. You're whole. You're not splintered. I've watched some of your families, you know, reunite together. And I think that's wonderful. You became family again. But I think there's some in here that could work on that and become family and be everything that God's called you forth to be. And as I look around, I see some of you that, you husbands, you've gone the extra mile for your wife, and you've been there to love them no matter what they went through. And now they love you. You love them through their mess, and now they're thankful that you stayed with them, and they're loving. Now they love you for what you did for them. Is everybody understanding all this? Because I don't want you to leave here today the same as you came in. I would like to see some changes in your lives. And I'd like to see some of you move forward instead of just staying stagnant in that pigsty that you've been in way too long. God's saying, how can you give me honor if you don't show honor to those in your household? Even in your workplace, he's saying, if you claim to know me, then honor those around about you before you give me honor. I was talking to Brother Aaron. He said there's false humility. There's so much false humility in families. You know, you think you're a martyr. And you fuss about it, but you really like that. Because then you can really feel justified at being who you act out. God told me that last night, so I'm just passing that on to you. So, how many of you women feel blessed today? Even though you had hard times being a single mom or a single dad, but you still feel blessed because God thought enough of you to give you a child to raise. No child came on this earth by accident. They did not. You might have been out there and thought you just had an accident, but no, God wanted that child born. He wanted that child born in your womb. He knew how he was going to raise that child. He knew all about everything that was going to happen. But there's a reason for every one of us to be on this earth. But it's not to be mistreated. Once you know not to mistreat somebody, then you better change. All right? Father, I truly do thank you, and I praise you right now. Every mother or every woman that's in here today, Father God, I'm asking that you touch them in a special way. I'm asking, God, that you just send your angelic host through these chairs to touch the women. If their hearts need change, change their hearts, Father. Whatever they have need of, I'm expecting you, Father God, to bring it forth right now. And as we leave this place, let the mothers be humble enough to allow their families to love on them this special day. And let the families, Father God, love their mother and their wives enough to make this a special day for them. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.